R2-D2.
I hope you got enough tissue there after that song, because we're using some up over here, that's for sure. First, I want to thank the Barnhearts and the Linfels for the privilege of having this platform to hold forth God's word. And every time we have an opportunity to hold forth the word, it is truly a privilege granted us ultimately by God. Tonight we're going to take a look at some things in Romans 12. In a time when we see that it really seems that the onslaught of our enemy is stepped up beyond the things that we've seen historically. The meanness, the evil, the difficulty, the confusion, the heartache and the fear that has come along with all of the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic and all the things that it affects seem to be a bigger deal than the things we've seen in recorded history heretofore. We are that much closer to the return of our Lord, and we have that hope to hold on to. It's at a time like this that I have found, especially recently, I just go to God and say, I want to be about your business. I want to be the best son of God I can be. I want to be the best believer I can be. And I don't want to be distracted. I need your help, God, to help me refocus. And I've had those things happen. I've had that sense of needing help with my direction on and off throughout my life, like I think most believers do. And God has always brought me back to Romans, chapter 12 in particular. So what I'd like to do is we're going to read through a section. We're going to actually start back in chapter 11 and just read it and look at it and hear our Father's voice asking us some critical questions, and then, in the loving way he does, giving us the exact and precise guidance that we need to be our best for him. Without getting into the detail of it, we know that Romans is the foundational doctrinal epistle to the church age, and chapter 12 specifically is about the walk, the practical application of that doctrine. If we go back to Romans 11, this is something that it always grabs me and shakes me and also prepares me to read the rest of chapter 12. In Romans chapter 11, in verse 33, our Father says, he tells us by Paul's writing, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? For who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, our God, and through him, our God, and to him, our God, are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. So when chapter 12, verse 1 starts with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I can't question that. I can't say, well, I don't understand why you need that, God, because God just told me. I don't know all of his logic. I don't know all of his reasoning. I haven't known the mind of the Lord. I haven't been his counselor. So why don't I just get to stepping? If he's got something in front of me to do, if he's got a way for me to walk, let's just walk it. Let's be about our Father's business. And it's in verse 2 where it really always grabs me exactly how detailed God is willing to be in showing us how to walk. It says, and be not conformed to this world. So all the things that are going around us, we don't react to, we act upon, based on the word of God that God has presented us, taught us, that we know and understand. We're not conformed to this world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I just want to read through several verses here. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. For the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. And this originally was where we're going to start, because this is such a foundational truth, that we are to love without hypocrisy, love without a mask, love not according to our feelings or our attractions or our prejudices, but according to the love that God showed when he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We are to love that way. Now I want to read the Amplified version of some of these verses, because it was very, very eye-opening to me to see how they broke this down. In the Amplified version of chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. For by the grace of God, verse 3, given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each the degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. For just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use, so we, who are many, are nevertheless just one body in Christ. And individually, we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on each other. Since we have gifts, verse 6, that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has a gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to his faith. If service, in the act of serving. For he who teaches, in the act of teaching. For he who encourages, in the act of encouragement. He who gives, with generosity. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy in caring for others, with cheerfulness. And the Amplified Version of verse 9 says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. This is a charge from our Father regarding how to be the best believer that we can be, how for me to be the best son of God that I can be. This is God telling me what I ask God, what do I do? God says, here's what you do. It's that simple and that direct. And that's what his word is for, is to give us the simplicity and directness of his heart and desire for us in life. That as we serve one another and love one another, he is glorified and we are blessed. That love without dissimulation, that love without hypocrisy, that without dissimulation is the Greek word anupokritos, and you might hear the transliteration of that Greek word hypokritos in the English word hypocrite. We love without hypocrisy. We don't just love the people it's easy to love. We don't just act as if we love. We don't just present an image of love. We actively love. God actively loved when he gave Jesus Christ. You can't get more active than that sacrifice that he made and that our Lord made. Because he had to decide to give his body up. That was him being the best son he could be, which ultimately is all God requires of us. That's what he wants from us. Just be your best, not somebody else's best. Be your best for me. That's faith. That's believing. When we, without hypocrisy, when we, from a heart of love, when we genuinely endeavor to simply be our best for him, that's how we retain direction. And God continues throughout chapter 12 with this charge about how to walk, about how to be that best son of God. And I love the closing that the Father gives to Paul for this chapter. In verse 21, it simply says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And ultimately, the good we know is the goodness of God. That's what we practice. That's who we are. It's literally woven into the fiber of the being of every born-again one, that we are demonstrators, illustrators of the goodness of God. And God has shown us how to act and how to believe. I'm so thankful for this chapter in this book, and I'm so thankful to have a Heavenly Father whose faithfulness continues to keep me focused on Him in the greatest of times of distraction. So I just want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you give us all to show the world exactly how loving, how powerful, how intensely you care for us. Without any deserving on our part, it's just the way you love. And we know now that we are capable of that same love. So I thank you, God, for continuing to be the God who loves his kids and who carries us and holds us tenderly in your arms in the best of times, in the worst of times, in all times. We thank you for your faithfulness, Father, and come humbly to you with the knowledge that you know our hearts better than we do. We thank you for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the joy that we have to look forward to that, to his coming. And it's in his name, our living, thriving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.